Everyone in this room knows what the feeling of being alone is like, right? Everyone in this room has had times in their life where you have felt alone, lonely. There are even famous people, such as Albert Einstein, who's talked about their loneliness. He said, "It is strange to be known so universally and yet be so lonely." Imagine being world-renowned and lonely. Judy Garland played the role of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She said, "If I'm such a legend, then why am I so lonely? Let me tell you, legends are all very well if you've got somebody around who loves you." Musician Eric Clapton admitted his loneliness. And he said, "I experienced dreadful loneliness, and the difficult thing for other people to understand was that they'd look at my circumstances and think, here's a guy that has everything." As a society, we are becoming more and more isolated, it would seem. Did you know that for the first time in Canada, single dwelling homes, I hope I'm saying that right, homes with only one person in it, have outnumbered for the first time all other types of homes, married with kids, multiple family dwellings. That means at 28.2% of Canadians right now are home alone. They're going home. Almost a third of Canadians are going home to themselves. That could create a sense of loneliness. George Barna, who keeps track of different statistics, he said since the early 2000s, the number of people who are self-identifying as lonely has doubled just since the early 2000s. So what, a little over 15 years? Doubled the number of people who are saying, "I'm lonely." This is also this sense of being alone, of being by yourself. I'm full of good news this morning, aren't I? It's okay, you can laugh a little bit, it's all right. This is also creating an opportunity for us as taxpayers in BC. Did you know that? Because there's a new thing in BC. I don't know how new it is, but it's a growing thing. Empty funerals. Funerals where everything's prepared, everything's ready to go, and nobody shows up. Your tax-paying dollars 2 years ago spent $5 million on empty funerals. This year alone, there have been, at the time that I wrote this, there were 2,325 empty funerals. Nobody came. Talk about alone. And that brings us to a new series this morning, which I am very excited about. This is a series about your life coach, the Holy Spirit. And we are going to look at this person of the Holy Spirit. If you are unfamiliar with Christianity, you might not know that the God that we worship as followers of Jesus has three persons. It's a community within the Godhood. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You might have heard that formula before. The Holy Spirit doesn't get necessarily the attention that the Father does and the Son does. But as you look in the Bible, it is clear that in the time that we are right now, the time of the church, the Holy Spirit is the one who is doing a lot of the work, the groundwork in churches today, all around the world. And the Bible, Jesus described the Holy Spirit as a gift. As a gift. But here's the thing about gifts. I know a lot of people that if I gave them a gift of a brand new computer, it would not change their life at all, because they don't know what to do with it. In the same way, Jesus gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people don't know what to do with Him. You hear about Him, but what does He do? And how do you engage with the Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We're going to be looking at the promise of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want you to take home this morning. That the Spirit is the loving friend who never leaves. The Holy Spirit is the loving friend who never leaves. Now, I want to spend some time introducing you, maybe for the first time, to your life coach. Your life coach. And it's so good that the coming of this life coach for each one of us was so good that God gave us a preview. You know how some movies are so good and sometimes so bad, but that's probably a bad example. You get a preview of a movie. It says, this is what's coming. Well, we got a preview of the Holy Spirit back long before movie previews were ever on the horizon. Back in 571 BC, the prophet Ezekiel. God inspired the prophet Ezekiel and gave us a preview of what was coming, of who was coming. And he said, and this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. This was brand new. This was brand new. Because you have to understand, this, the amazement of this gets lost in modern ears because we're used to the idea of the Holy Spirit, for some of us, living inside of us. But you have to understand, when this was written, this did not happen. The Holy Spirit would come upon certain people at certain times to do certain miraculous things. For example, anyone here heard of Samson? Samson. If you're not familiar with the Bible, Samson was the big strong guy. He used to put on shows of strength. Now, just as a side thing, by the way, I think, you know, I had a picture Bible as a kid, and I think they totally got Samson wrong. Because this is how they often picture Samson. And I'm thinking, a guy who looks like that doesn't need no miracle. A guy like that, beating up people, toppling, you know, pillars and stuff, that's no big deal. Look at him. His muscles have muscles. His lats have glutes. Like, he's just muscly. I think Samson looked more like me. Now, when you start, you know, causing terror all over the place when you look like me, now that's miraculous. But it said in those stories that the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson and he would do his strongman show and then the Holy Spirit would leave and then the Holy Spirit would come upon him and come upon him in strength and all that sort of thing. But now it was promised that the Holy Spirit wouldn't come upon someone, the Holy Spirit would take up residence in someone, actually live inside of them. This was brand new. And this could happen to anyone. You didn't have to be a prophet or a king or a judge like Samson. It is available to anyone, even you. That the Holy Spirit could come and live in you. How cool is that? So this big promise, 600 years before Jesus. And for the next 600 years, nothing. Silence. Nothing happens. A long time to wait. But then Jesus comes along and he starts talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit that was about to come. He now says, this is imminent. This is going to happen. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be, what's the word? In you. He's with you now. He's talking to his disciples. He's with you. But the time is coming. It's very near. He's going to be in you. Now, I'm just guessing. Some of you might be wondering about the title of this series, introducing your life coach. You never thought of the Holy Spirit as a life coach. And if you're not familiar with the concept of a life coach, you can actually hire a life coach today, someone to kind of help you make decisions and all that sort of thing. You know, it's good to have people who can help you out like that, right? I'm introducing you to the ultimate life coach. And if you were going to make qualifications as to who you'd want to have as your life coach, what would those qualifications be, I wonder? What would you want that coach to do for you? Because I want you to pay attention to that word advocate. That word can be translated as a number of things. And the words that it can be translated are is like a resume for the perfect life coach. The advocate can also be translated as counselor, encourager, comforter, and strengthener. What do you think of that resume? If you wanted a life coach, if you wanted someone by your side with you, in you, someone to direct you, look at that list. Look carefully at that list. Someone to counsel you, encourage you, comfort you, and strengthen you. There is no better life coach available in 2019 than the Holy Spirit. He is everything you need and everything I need in a life coach. I want you to also, I'm just going to back up for 1 second. Look at what it says. It says, this life coach will never leave you. Will never leave you. Think about that for 1 second. This is to be a permanent arrangement. For anyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ, this becomes a permanent residence. This means the Holy Spirit, your life coach, is with you at work and at home. When you're on holidays, on your first day of retirement. Your life coach is with you when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're depressed, confused, angry, lonely. Your life coach will be with you when your boyfriend tells you, I just want to be friends. Or when your wife tells you, it's over. Or when your last kid leaves home. This life coach won't storm off in a huff, slamming the door behind him. This life coach won't hang up the phone on you or click unfollow. This life coach will be with you when you need him and even when you think you don't need him. And even if you were the first person to colonize Mars, your life coach will be with you. How amazing is the Holy Spirit? How amazing is this life coach? Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, This is pretty incredible. You have to understand the context, the historical context. There was a time, if you wanted to go and visit with God, you had to go to a certain place. The Ark of the Covenant, if you're familiar with Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know the Ark of the Covenant. If you've read the Bible, you know the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe not necessarily in that order. You'll know that this was where God dwelt. If you wanted to visit with God, you had to go to where this ark was. And when it finally made it, so this is how it worked. If you lived far away from Jerusalem and you wanted to visit with God, well, you had to pack yourself up a bunch of kosher Big Macs and haul yourself down to Jerusalem. That's right, you can laugh. And then you had to make a sacrifice. And even then, you were not allowed close to this. There was a curtain, heavy, thick curtain, you could not cross to get to the presence of God. That's the way things were. So think about how significant it is that things change. Things change so much with the person of Jesus and the coming of our life coach that even vocabulary changed. Because at one point you had to go to the temple where the ark was kept to meet with God. But when Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two. And now no longer, get this, pay attention, now listen carefully. No longer did you go to meet with God. God came to meet with you. How cool is that? Even the very word temple, which used to be the dwelling, the place, the presence of God, the New Testament changes that word completely. And the center of worship for the follower of Jesus is not some building. It says the temple is you and I, as followers of Jesus. The very dwelling of God is inside of us. The presence of God. You want to visit God, He's right inside of you if you're a follower of Jesus. You are the temple. The Holy Spirit is the loving friend who never, ever leaves. Which brings us to the final point. We've talked about the promise of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, "It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and He has identified us as His own." How did He identify us as His own? By placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything He has promised us. The Holy Spirit answers two very important questions in your life and in my life. And the first question is, who am I? Our world is in a desperate search to answer the question, who am I? What is my identity? And I'm going to talk more about this in weeks to come. But we can try to find our identity in our work, in our place in the home, in our sexuality. We can find our sense of identity in our accomplishments, in our bank account. But the ultimate identity comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit, who says, "I am a child of God. That is my identity. That is who I am. This is an identity that cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It cannot be taken away from me." Now, I understand we live in a time where I have to explain vocabulary sometimes, because you might be sitting here thinking, wait a second, but isn't everyone a child of God? Yes and no. It's like the difference between your birth parents and the people who raised you. Sometimes those are not the same thing. Your birth parents are kind of where, that's where you came from. They're the source of you. And in that sense, you are their child. In that sense, we are all God's children. We all came from God. We are all created by God. Nod your head if you're following with me. However, if your birth parents did not raise you, maybe you were raised by someone else, you have a relationship with them. That's very different. So you may say, I am their child because I have a relationship with them. And that is the difference between being generally a child of God and being specifically a child of God. It's all about relationship. And the presence of the Holy Spirit identifies us as his own, as his possession. It's a beautiful thing. And second of all, not only does the Holy Spirit answer the question, who am I? It answers the question, where am I going? Many times, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, as a deposit. I'm going fishing later this summer, Lord willing, on the west coast of the island. I'm really looking forward. I'm going with a friend. I've wanted to do this all my life. This is going to be so much fun. I'm hoping to pull in a salmon or halibut or something. It's going to be great. But in order to secure a guide, I had to put down a deposit. That's right. I put down a deposit. And for my guide, that means it's a foretaste of the fact I'm going to pay in full at some point. In the same sense, God gives us a deposit. The Holy Spirit is a deposit that guarantees what is to come. Right now, we have just a taste of God's presence. Just a taste. But one day, we are going to get all of God. And His very presence will drive us to our knees. We will be so overwhelmed and overcome by his glory. But right now we get a deposit. A deposit that says something better will happen. Something greater is coming, and it's guaranteed because we have the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Now, how can we respond? What can we do? First of all, invite his presence. Maybe you're in this room and you haven't given your life to Christ yet. You haven't turned from your sins. And I just want you to know, I'm so glad you're here, by the way. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you feel welcome here. I hope you come back. But maybe you spent your life resisting the Holy Spirit. See, one of the things the Holy Spirit tells us is that we're sinners, that we've sinned, we've done wrong, we've broken God's law. And maybe you spent your whole life telling yourself, I'm a good person. I don't understand this whole cross thing. I think I'm good enough to get into heaven. And we're resisting the Holy Spirit's message. If that's the case, I invite you, implore you, to change your mind on that. To stop resisting the Holy Spirit and his message and invite his presence. And for those of us who do know God, we can also resist the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. It says that we are to be filled with the Spirit. And we often think of this as some sort of quantity of how much of the Holy Spirit we get. It's not how much of the Holy Spirit that we get. It's how much of us the Holy Spirit gets. How much ownership in us does the Holy Spirit have? How much control in us does the Holy Spirit have? Have we surrendered every part of our lives to the Holy Spirit and his direction in our lives? That's the real question. Have we surrendered our finances, our time schedule, our sexuality? Are we selective on what God gets to control? So invite his presence. Second of all, thank him for his presence. Here's what I know from personal experience. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you will not always feel like you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. There will be times that you will greatly doubt whether the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. I know. I do too. Thanking him says, you know what? I have to make a decision. Am I going to believe my feelings or am I going to believe God's promise? Every single one of us makes that decision on a moment-by-moment basis. Feelings are wonderful things. They are. They can also be very deceptive. Because our feelings will tell us things that are untrue. And I'm sure you could go through your life as I could go through my life to talk about all the times my feelings were completely wrong. God has promised that when you turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Thank him for his presence. Whether you feel him or not, thank him that his promises are true even when our feelings are not. Amen? Number three, rely on his presence. I'm going to be talking more about this and what our life coach does for us in the coming weeks. But what I'm really talking about here is grace. God's undeserved favor upon us. The things that God does for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And there are so many things that the Holy Spirit does for us that we're not aware of. And I'm hoping that this series will open up all of our eyes, including mine, as to how involved your life coach and my life coach wants to be in your life. Rely on his presence. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I love that. It's very humbling, don't you think? Without me, you can do nothing. You can't live a moral life without God. You can't continue to keep doing the right things without God. You can't love people, avoid jealousy, avoid arguing, avoid bitterness. Our life coach keeps us from living a selfish, lonely, bitter life. We need him. I need him. I need my life coach. I can't do this. And I'm not talking about being a pastor. I just can't be a follower of Jesus without him. I need him moment by moment by moment. Rely on his presence. And like I said, I'll talk more about that in a moment. But I'm going to close up this morning by talking a little bit about the Apostle Paul. We have some of the last words that he ever wrote in our hands right now. He wrote a final letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. And if you want to know the difference that the life coach can make in your life, I want you to pay close attention to what happened to Paul. Now keep in mind, if you're not unfamiliar with Paul, Paul is the guy who spread the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus, the message of Jesus throughout the entire Mediterranean. He was and is one of the giants of the Christian faith. And he wrote much of the New Testament. And he finds himself in jail. This would be about 66 AD. And he knows he's going to be executed. He knows his time is done. And he writes a final letter. And listen to what happened to the Apostle Paul. He said, "The first time I was brought before the judge, no one came with me." Now stop right there for a second. This is the Apostle Paul, famous throughout the Mediterranean. Everybody knew who the Apostle Paul was, enemies and friends alike. And he goes before a judge on a trial for his life. And who does he have on his side of the court? No one. Talk about feeling alone. Could you imagine going through that yourself? You're on a trial for your life. No one comes and supports you. No one. The only people in the court are on the prosecution side. He said, no one came with me. Everyone abandoned me. This is the sense of being alone, if I've ever heard it. And in God's grace, he allows Paul to write, may it not be counted against them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He continues, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. Stop right there. Who gives us strength? Do you remember earlier in this message? Who's our strengthener? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with Paul. The Holy Spirit was in Paul, around Paul, surrounding Paul. Paul was not alone. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. He says, yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. The presence of God in his life gave him hope for the future, even though he was completely abandoned by every human being. Why do I bring this up? Because every single one of you at one point will be abandoned. You will be completely alone. It may be in a time of celebration where you just wish someone was around you to celebrate with you, but you'll be alone. Maybe it'll be a time of darkness, like the Apostle Paul, where you desperately need someone around you to hold your hand, to hug you, to tell you it's going to be okay, and no one will be there. In that moment, I have good news for you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will be with you. The Holy Spirit will stand by you and give you strength. Do we need our life coach? Oh, yes, we do. The Holy Spirit is the loving friend who never leaves. And we all need him more than we realize. We're going to spend some time reflecting on that. Anna and her team are going to lead us through some music. And I want you to just reflect on how important your life coach is to you. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, I implore you once again, make today the day you get to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that life coach, that permanent life coach, that friend who will never leave, can be part of your life. If you'd like prayer for anything this morning, please come on forward. There's going to be people here to pray with you. Other than that, God bless you. Have a great week.